The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting camera, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Okay, welcome to it. It's a Tuesday. It's International Women's Day. So Gotta Laugh is here, and we're getting the band back together. Yeah. Amy Simon will be along, too, for a gathering of the Glibberal Goddesses. Now, if you're fairly new to the show, you don't know, but we used to do this every week. And so it'll all make sense as we go along. But I got to start off by saying today is a mixture of good news, pretty good news, really bad news, and a lot of shit in between. The good news is the first official trial from the insurrection on January 6th is over. Guy Reffitt, a Texas militia member who was at the head of an early wave of rioters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, was found guilty on all charges, all five felony charges he faced, including obstruction of an official proceeding, carrying a firearm during the attack, and threatening witnesses. And the jury came back in like 3 hours, after 3 hours of deliberations. It was a week-long trial, featured graphic video and testimony of the pro-Trump mob that Reffitt joined, confronting police officers at the Capitol's West Front. There, prosecutors say, his prolonged standoff with several officers wielding non-lethal weapons helped divert focus while the larger mob tore through the scaffolding assembled for Biden's inauguration. Guilty on all counts. And then, because it gets better, the head of the Proud Boys, I think, Enrico Terrio or whatever his name is, was roused out of sleep, out of bed in the pre-dawn hours this morning in Miami and arrested. So it looks like there's some progress being made. Slow as it is, at least it's moving in the right direction. And there's other good news. Like when it comes to the war, Poland finally struck a deal with the U.S. and they're transferring all of their Russian-made MiG-29 fighter jets, quote, immediately and free of charge to a U.S. Air Force base in Germany. And that's the precursor to the jets being delivered to Ukraine. The U.S., it's like a three-way deal where, see, the Ukrainians know how to fly those Russian MiGs. They don't know how to fly the new U.S. planes. So the deal is Poland gives their Russian MiGs to Ukraine, and we give new jets to Poland to make up for the ones they gave to Ukraine. I'm good with all of this. I want this fucking war to end. We'll have another update from our friend Tatiana in Ukraine. Got a lot of, I think now that they are out of Kyiv and they're in a remote village in a tiny little apartment with now six adults and a child. And apparently the owners of this apartment are supposed to be back in a week or two, but I think they're just taking it one day at a time. I'll fill you in on that. Yeah, it feels like it's like one step up and two steps back. But now you want the other really bad news? Mm-hmm. Well, Florida. So the Florida Senate today passed the Don't Say Gay bill. And it's not that, you know, you can't say gay because people are on Twitter now going gay, 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 gay. Was the arrest a no-knock entry? I don't believe so, Gorilla in the Mist. I don't think so. This will be law as soon as death sentence signs it. And it basically says that in primary school, in grade school, teachers are not allowed to talk about sexuality, not allowed to talk about gender, not allowed to talk about anything having to do with LGBTQ issues. And oh my God, do I have a clip to play for you. But I should wait until, certainly until Laffy gets here and maybe until Amy gets here, because I can't be the only one reacting to this. It is nuts. It's just unbelievable. And again, in this day and age, everything that I say is unbelievable is totally believable because these are Republicans we're talking about and they know no shame. All right. So I'll tell you what, let's not wait any longer. Let's bring Laffy in, shall we? So let me put this up and push this button.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Every Tuesday, well, every other Tuesday, kind of, sort of, we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh and shoot the shit about what's going on in the news, what we get from her Twitter feed. Hey, Laffy.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay, so I suck. That's how I am. You know, I realize that the reason, I mean, we all know we have anxiety, but the reason I have so much anxiety is everything bad is happening, right? And you go through life thinking, well, you can get by because everything bad won't always happen, but everything bad is happening. And so I'm feeling really particularly vulnerable right now because I think, well, I have a headache. Oh my God, it's a brain tumor. Of course it's not a brain tumor. Wait a minute. Everything bad is happening. Oh. It's a brain tumor. Oh, you know, no. It's that kind of thinking. And, you know, I get rid of it as quickly as, you know, it's fleeting, but still it's like, oh, this could never happen. And then it happens.
So,
and that's the problem.
Yeah, I hear you. So, Laffy, I just realized that, you know, you were last here 2 weeks ago, and my goodness, so much has happened in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So you don't even know who Tatiana is, do you?
No. Hi, Tatiana.
Okay, well, she's not hearing us. Tatiana is in Ukraine. I met Tatiana. I was doing my regular phone calls, and I think you were here for this. Before the war broke out, I called the Intercontinental Hotel in Kyiv and did speak with the desk clerk, I guess, who spoke good English. But she was convinced, oh, nothing's going to happen here. We're fine. Maybe in the East, it's scary there, but we'll be okay here. And my goodness, does that conversation replay in my mind just to think about what she's thinking? But after Putin invaded, I waited a couple of days, and then I thought, you know, there are still people, reporters are staying in hotels, and I thought, let me try to find, like, a local hotel, not a big international chain, but find somebody, you know, and so I looked, and there are a lot of hostels in Kyiv. Here we call them youth hostels. They're just hostels, so I guess they're inexpensive lodging, and this place was the top-rated hostel in Kyiv. It's called Friends Forever, written in English. The sign inside was written in English. And I thought, that's a sign. All right, I need to call there. And I did. And so, because you didn't hear it, and some people may not have heard the original call with Tatiana, let me play that for you so at least you have an introduction to her. So this was my initial call to the Friends Forever hostel in Kyiv, just what, 10 days ago, maybe? Here we go.
Hello.
Hi. Do you speak English?
Yes, I speak English.
Hi, my name's Nicole. I'm calling from the United States, and I'm just calling to check in and see if you're okay.
Yes, I'm in like 5 days, stay underground. It's not a fun.
No, no. Are there troops around where you are?
Underground, minus one floor, you know, like 5 days, all the time, it's like fighting.
Wow. So you're hiding underground, basically. You're staying safe underground.
Yes.
What would you like the rest of the world to know? What can we do to help you?
My darling, if you send me to this number, like in Telegram, I would ask, because we'll try to help to Ukrainian army and any woman who pregnant, like all that, may try to get money, and everybody helping to each other. And if you can help, if you can some reserve for help, I will send to you what we need.
Okay, so send you like a text to this number.
Yes, please. Yes, if it's better, if you can't send me, I'm not sure what is true number, because I doesn't see your number, you know. If you can send to this number, to Telegram message, just about help, I will ask you about some help.
Okay. What is your first name? Don't give me your full name. Just give me your first name.
My name is Tatiana Stepanenko.
Tatiana.
I'm like... Yes,
okay.
I'm owner of hostel.
You're the owner there. Oh my goodness. Well, yes. I do a radio show. I want to get the word out as to how you're doing and what people can do to help. So I will send you a text, and
thank you, my darling. Thank you very much for your caring about people. Thank you very much.
Here in America, you are in our thoughts, and we want to help. We really want to help.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, Tatiana. Take care.
Big hug.
Thank you. Be safe.
Bye
bye. So that was the first exchange with Tatiana. We've not spoken since then, and that was on the 28th. So that was, what, 2 weeks ago today, right? No? That was a week ago yesterday. My goodness. Okay, so that was a week ago yesterday. We have been, she mentioned Telegram, which is an app, an encrypted app. So we have been communicating via Telegram. And I've been filling everyone in on our exchanges here when we can. You see me on the camera now just because we've got a full house in the chat room, in the Zoom room, and I'm getting our shots all together, which is taking me just a moment. So here's what we're going to do. So Laffy.
Yeah.
Hold
on. You want me to do my tweets? Is that what's going
on? Oh, we could do that. I'll tell you what. So let's do tweets for a moment while I try to get our Zoom thing together. Pardon my horrible video. It's just I'm just yeah.
It's fine.
So here we are. So oh no, we're not.
Yeah.
So let me put Laffy up on the screen. Laffy
can do
tweets while I try to get everything else in as it's supposed to be.
Okay.
And let me play you a little tweet spot music. Here we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, Laughster. So tell us what the Twitters are all a Twitter about today.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Florida, because you were, mentioning.
Yes.
Florida, okay, so Schoolie, my buddy Schoolie, he said, somebody better tell Florida tourism, that marketing people, the news. And here's what Florida tourism marketing people had posted at visitflorida.com. Florida's most popular LGBTQ getaways. Florida is one of the world's premier gay and lesbian travel destinations. That's because the Sunshine State rolls out the rainbow carpet for LGBTQ travelers, beckoning with year-round warmth, top-notch dining and clubs, inclusive events and festivals, and friendly accommodations.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Yeah.
That's what they have up at visitflorida.com as of his tweet, which was today, by the way.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
So there's that.
Okay.
There's that. All right, let's move on.
Now, did you see the tweet from Disney? Disneyland
yes.
put up a tweet, and
yes.
you know what? I tweeted back at them, and I said,
good.
I said, let's see, if I got a lot of retweets on. I said, they wrote, "There's room for everyone under the rainbow. Happy Pride Month with the rainbow behind all the Disney characters." And I wrote, "Then why are you supporting the anti-human moron death sentence? Disney, what a fucking disappointment."
I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, me too. I feel better about it now. Right.
A lot of people did stuff like that. I retweeted a couple of them, in fact. It's disgraceful. One of the tweets, and I wish I could remember who tweeted it, made the point that Disney is a place where children like to go. And why don't they think about that as they continue to not condemn death sentence?
Right. I don't understand. I really don't. You know, I remember the first time when Allison was very little, the first time we went to Disney World in Florida. We had been to Disneyland in California. And I realized when we were headed up there, found out that it was Pride weekend. And my initial thought was, cool, because then maybe she'll be exposed to same-sex couples holding hands, and it won't think anything of it. And you know what? She didn't think anything of it. It was not. It was no big deal. It was just normal. And she's never had an issue with that. What Florida, is doing is making sure this is an issue, making sure that now kids think that there's something to be ashamed about or embarrassed about. And that's really
what they're doing is also letting the parents know that their base, their vile Republican bigoted base, is welcome in Florida, and that's what they're hoping the donors will pile the money on. So, it's on one hand, it affects the kids, and on the other hand, it's aimed at the donors.
It's just horrible. I'm sorry.
It's disgusting.
It's just sickening.
Ugh. On the next one, I gave you some sound for this one.
Oh, shit.
Do you have it ready or no?
Which one was it?
I can go to the next tweet. This is the one about, this is a Missouri.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah. No, it's Missouri or Michigan?
Oh, I'm sorry, Michigan.
It's Michigan.
My bad.
So Michigan. This is, all right, I've got video to share with you, which is going to be really interesting. All right, I think I can bring it up here. Give me one second. Michigan, Michigan lawmaker. All right. I am going to bring it up here. Just bear with. So do you want to set something up here? This is a Zoom call.
I don't think it matters that I set it up. I think all we need to hear are his words. And I'll set it up by just saying that this guy's going to get votes. And I can't believe he'll get votes, but he will eventually get votes.
Okay. Now just know this guy is the one in the lower left-hand corner of this Zoom call. All right, so here it is. The one with the hat on. You'll see they talk over each other at the beginning, but he gets time to say clearly what he wants to say.
We're a year after the election. We're a year after, guys. It's too late. It's too late. Sorry. We lost.
Yeah, I had that same attitude as a parent of three daughters.
Election integrity bill.
You should have fought already.
All of us are talking at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was six people. Like,
having three daughters, and I tell my daughters, well, if rape is inevitable, you should just lie back and enjoy it. So that's not how we roll. That's not how I won this election. We go right at it. And so, what we did, we're Goliath right now. We knocked David and Goliath, we knocked Goliath down with the stone. But you all know, as good Bible people, how did David kill Goliath?
What?
It wasn't the stone.
Oh, my God.
Once Goliath was knocked down, Goliath's sword and cut off his head.
Okay. So, I don't need to hear anything more from this piece of shit.
If rape is inevitable, you should just lay back and enjoy it.
He tells
Reagan.
He tells his daughters that.
Right. I tell my daughters, if rape is inevitable, you should just lay back and enjoy it. Robert Reagan, the favorite to represent Michigan's 74th district in their state house.
Unbelievable.
The favorite. He will get votes. He's the favorite. I can't say that enough.
It's just horrific. And the fact is, there are two other women on this call who, I didn't see them go,
they were laughing.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
I look at their faces. I think they were just not knowing what to do, but still.
Unbelievable.
My God. Speaking of appalling.
Yes.
Marge Q Green.
Oh, what'd she do now?
Of Georgia.
Yes.
I've got a two-parter on this one. She purchased stock from the largest military contractor in the United States less than a week before Russia invaded Ukraine, according to her financial disclosures. And Brian Young of Action Network said, then she is now working for free in Congress because of all her mask fines.
Yes,
she's been
right.
charged thousands and thousands.
Yes, and they just take it out of her paycheck. So she
right.
now is
so
getting
she's,
nothing.
She's working for free.
Yep.
So Brian Young of the Action Network says, luckily for her, she's more than making it up for her lack of money with insider trading on defense industry stocks.
Oh, God. Oh, help us all. Please.
God. These people, they're not just bad. They're horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we used to talk about politicians who would say stupid ass things or, I mean, they were always bad, but these people are just beyond.
Beyond. I agree.
Jaw-droppingly, yep. eye-popping bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of jaw-dropping, eye-popping bad.
Yeah.
Mark Meadows, we think he committed voter fraud after
yes.
saying all these horrible things about voter fraud.
Yep.
Mark Meadows' voter registration, this is according to the New Yorker, has been linked since the fall of 2020 to a mobile home in Scaly Mountain, North Carolina.
Really?
So Meadows.
Yeah.
Yes. Meadows has never owned the mobile home.
He's never slept there.
Which is voter fraud.
Yes, it is. Look at that.
Isn't that weird? That it's my God.
No, it's Republican. Is it weird? No, it's Republican.
I was being
I know, but I think we have a new way to use the word Republican. It's sort of like in this house, how we use the word trumped. You know, Jackson's out yeah. trumping again.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another way to be a Republican.
And the New Yorker goes on to say that Meadows may have committed voter fraud is especially noteworthy given that he's been among the most powerful Republicans who've claimed without evidence that widespread voter fraud caused Trump the 2020 election. So, yeah, the local board of election has not considered the matter because no one has challenged his mm-hmm. claim that his 14 by 62 foot mobile home, now owned by a Lowe's retail manager, is the legal domicile of Trump's former chief of staff.
Okay.
So, you know. Whatever.
Touché. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, voter fraud, voter schmod, okay. Who cares? Mm-hmm. We don't.
Mm.
Ed Markey. He said, he tweeted, here's a fact you won't hear on Fox News today. I hate that he called it
yeah.
news. It's
Fox not
propaganda.
News. Right.
It's propaganda.
It is.
Yeah. Exxon, Chevron, and Conoco made $46 billion in profit in 2021. Now they're using 40% of those profits for stock buybacks. Big oil is raking it in, raising prices, and taking advantage of the war in Ukraine to push for more drilling. And meanwhile, every news outlet, and including my own LA Times, is saying, oh my God, what are all the drivers in our city, state, town, whatever, going to do with these high gas prices? How will they be able to get along? And I said, well, why don't you ask how the Ukrainians
right.
are able to get along?
Hello. Yeah.
I don't care about that. I mean, I do care about that, you know, people who have trouble making ends meet, but let's compare dying on the streets and getting bombed and killed and starved to death with I can't drive and I'm losing money. It's bad. I'm not
right.
discounting it. I'm nope. just saying let's
put things in perspective. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, there is this thing called sacrifice that we do in times of war. And I think it's time that people come to grips with that. I know it's hard. I do. Boy, do I. But we just yeah. have to acknowledge that.
Yep.
Here's some bad news.
Okay.
Because, you know, I haven't given you enough today.
No, we don't have enough bad news.
The Amazon rainforest tipping point is looming,
God,
data shows. Analysis of satellite observations showed the forest is losing stability with, quote, profound global implications. Novel statistical analysis shows that more than 75% of the untouched forest has lost stability since the early 2000s, meaning it takes longer to recover after droughts and wildfires.
Lovely.
Profound implications for the global climate and biodiversity.
Yep.
I don't even want to read more because this is one of the things that upsets me so much that I can't
you.
Sleep at night.
I hear you.
Ugh. LOL GOP, our buddy, he quotes Manu Raju, who quotes Grassley. Grassley said, he's ranking Republican who backed ACB during her month-long mm-hmm. confirmation process, box at the Democrats' timeline to confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson by Easter. He said, we should not sacrifice the integrity of our constitutional
you.
Advice and consent responsibility to meet an arbitrary timeline. And LOL GOP said, yeah,
couldn't help myself.
Oh,
All you need to say is Amy Coney Barrett. Amy Coney Barrett.
LOL GOP answered him, honestly wish Democrats in the Senate were this shameless. And Joan McCarter of Daily Coast said, Republicans are immune to charges of hypocrisy. They just don't care. They absolutely live for trolling Democrats on shit like this.
Yep.
It's just one of the reasons why the Dems' fetish for bipartisanship is so frustrating and frankly pathetic.
That's right. It is pathetic. Wah. It is pathetic. Absolutely. All right.
And the last two are for Amy, so I will hold off.
Okay. So then let's... We got to gather the goddesses together again.
Amy Simon of She's History. Got a laugh out of the carnival and into radio or not.
Well.
And Nicole Sandler.
Hello, goddesses.
The Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com combined the forces of Amy, Laffy, and Nicole to bring to you the Glibberal Goddesses.
Whoops. Oh, Amy and Laffy got switched in my thing here. I'm gonna try to flip you around and see if I can't fix that. But hi,
That's okay. Hi,
Amy hi. Simon. I'm gonna do it because this is magic. Watch this. Woohoo! So, Amy Simon, for those who do not know, who weren't here. We used to do this weekly. It was the Glibberal Goddesses. It was Gotta Laugh, Amy Simon and myself. Amy Simon is a very, an old dear friend of mine. I'm not talking about her age. I'm talking about how long we've been friends. And she's a very multi-talented woman who has been for the last few years writing and working on and directing and staging this show in the LA area and other places too, called
Really She, Good, by the way.
She's History, the Most Dangerous Women in America, Then and Now. In fact, you know what? There are times that Amy's been on with me solo without Laffy, and she even had her own intro there too.
It's time for Amy Simon of She's History, the Most Dangerous Women in American History, Then and Now.
And it is International Women's Day. What's her name? Greta Thunberg tweeted out, it's International Women's Day. This is not a day for celebration. It's a day to stand up and protest because women still don't have much of what men have. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what she said. So, hi, Amy. Welcome back.
OMG. I'm so excited to be looking at two very dangerous women. And I love that a listener gave us the name of the Glibberal Goddesses. That's even better that we got that name from a listener.
Yep.
And boy, is Greta right. You know, I'm seeing on my Facebook feed, happy Women's International Day. Not really. So, I'm here with some info that's good and bad. But the truth is, Women's International Day actually started as a socialist idea in 1909.
Okay.
It came from women organizing for better pay. I mean, the whole thing is just about equality, equity, gender equity, and labor unions and, work standards and all that. But it would actually started as a socialist idea in 1909 here in America. And then there was this big conference in Copenhagen with communists and everybody, and it was all about women. Fighting and protesting for equality. So you got it, Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, actually, what I was going to say, I found the exact tweet. And what she said was, of course, I just retweeted it and it goes away. She said, International Women's Day is not for celebrating. It is for protesting against and raising awareness about the fact that people are still being oppressed or treated differently because of their gender. There you go.
No, I don't want to be too much of a downer, but yeah, we still have honor killings in, the Mideast.
Wow.
And especially in the Mideast is where I think there's almost the worst oppression. Although here, women are still earning only 82 cents to the man's dollar, and that's us white ones. Women of color are, worse.
Yep.
And there's, right now, there's only I think it's 27% of women are in our United States Congress, which is, you know, really good considering there was no one forever until 1917 when Jeanette Rankin became the first woman elected to Congress. So, mm-hmm. you know, we could go on and on about the lack of representation. And yes, we're better, you know, we're always making progress. My cat.
Okay.
That's why she's called Wreaking in Havoc, because that's what they do. But yeah, I mean, we're making progress, but we could only make progress because we started with nothing. So every bit of accomplishment, including, you know, women's soccer, finally this year, after fighting forever, got equal pay. Mm-hmm. The United States women's soccer. So like I said, you know me, I can go on and on and on about all the inequality.
As you should.
And progress that we make, so, you know.
Yes, you can. Now, before we blow past it and too much time gets away, it is National Women's Month, right? Women's History Month? What's the month called?
It's called Women's History Month.
Okay.
And it was actually inspired originally from March 8th, but it started in California. I do think I have a blog on my website about it that I wrote a long time ago, because it actually started in 1972 with a woman named Molly McGregor, who it's called the National Women's History Alliance. It's a website. I would encourage everyone to go there. There's some really fun quizzes on there that I actually took today and didn't pass everything. Oh. But she was a teacher here in Los Angeles, a social studies teacher. And, you know, 1972 was when, you know, the National Organization for Women, the second wave of feminism was really happening after the 60s. It was all about women. And Ms. Magazine had come out, and there was a boy in her class. And he said, "What's this?" And she said, "Oh." So she decided to give a test or something, or an assignment rather, to her students. And she told them to go to the library, but there were no books on women's history. So to cut to the chase, Women's History Month really started as a way to educate our students about women's history. And it started in Santa Rosa, California, with 1 week where women and girls dressed up as real women and paraded around. And there was a parade, and it started as a parade in 1 week. And then the next year it got even bigger. And then the woman who organized it was invited to a conference at Sarah Lawrence, and somebody there was friends with Jimmy Carter. I mean, I'm cutting through a lot of what really happened, but it wasn't until the 80s that we had our first proclamation for Women's History Month.
Right. I mean,
there's a lot more to the story, but I just tried to get to the good part.
Thank you. Yeah, we edit.
And then,
yes.
Then there's Women's Equality Day. And that's people get these all mixed up, because August 26th is Women's Equality Day, which is the day that we celebrate women winning the vote in 1920. And it was Bella Abzug that got that to be an official day.
Now, so, there's another day that it's like Women Equal Pay Day, which is when you get to the point in the next year that the woman would have to keep working to equal the pay that the man doing the same job made in the previous year.
Yeah,
and that comes sometime like in May or something, I think.
No, there's actually different dates for different groups. For white women, it's one time. Uh-huh. For women of color, it's another time. Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. So before it gets away from us, you bring out what's She's History, you know, usually during Women's History Month, when you're not doing it all the time. So are there any performances planned this month?
Yes, Nicole, I'm so glad you asked me that. You know, what's really ironic is that 2020 was the 100th anniversary of women winning the vote.
Yeah.
The 19th Amendment was passed. Boy, did we have stuff going on. I had bookings all over the place. I was going to be in Seneca Falls and doing the show, where the first women's convention was. And, you know, all of us women historians and performers, we had so much going on. And then, you know, the pandemic hit. So, yes, I am finally going to be back on stage with She's History, the solo play about women.
Oh, the solo play. You're doing the solo play again. Okay.
Solo play, March 20th at the Zephyr Theater here in Los Angeles. I am not streaming it. It is theater, and I want it in person, and it doesn't work so well on virtual. So if anyone's in Los Angeles, it's at the Zephyr Theater, and you can go to sheshistory.com. But I would encourage your listeners just to Google Women's History celebrations in wherever you are, because there's so much going on everywhere. I am not the only one that's a women's history freak. You know, there's a lot of us.
Right.
Well, your play is so good. I saw it, what, four times?
Yes, you
and
did.
And I'm jealous because I haven't even seen it performed live at all because I'm stuck here in Florida.
Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
But, you know, I remember when you came up with the idea, Amy, to do this She's History, to start doing all the research, because before that, you had a one-woman show in L.A. based on your experience as a mother. It was called Cheerios in My Underwear. And then one of your daughters comes home from school and has to do a project for Women's History Month. And she was going to do Cher or Shakira or somebody.
Janet Jackson. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no way. Yeah. I kind of freaked out, you know, and I was like, God darn it. It was that. And it was also, I mean, I've been a feminist, you know, I studied women's history in the 70s in college when it was just being offered. So I wasn't a radical feminist, even though that's not a bad thing, but I was, you know, pretty much a feminist. I ended up giving birth to two girls in March, which is Women's History Month, which is hilarious now. And I would always notice at school that you know, the curriculum, they just didn't include a lot of women's stuff, you know, and it really bothered me. But it was around 2007. It was when Hillary was running for president against Barack Obama. The country was in a deep recession. I was in a horrible divorce and I couldn't get a job.
Right.
So I'm saying this because it was literally all these things that came together. I had done so much research about women and motherhood for Cheerios in My Underwear. And when I was going through a divorce, I found the legal system was sexist as hell. I was like, what? I'm going to go back to the library. I'm going to find women's rights and I'm going to, you know, defend myself. It's really kind of, I don't know if I ever told you the story. I actually have the book right here. So I go to the library all ready. And I say, can you please direct me to where there's women? I want to find, you know, some information about women's rights. So they send me to this aisle, the W aisle. And I find, and I look under the W and I see this book.
Women's Progress in America.
Right. Now, it's alphabetically listing, you know, if you go to the S page, you'll see Gloria Steinem. If you go to the A page, you'll see Bella Abzug, abortion. You know, it's, I just like went down the rabbit hole. So I go to the W page for women's rights and I see a picture of Victoria Woodhull, the first woman to run for president. Never heard of her. And she was called the prostitute who ran for president. She ran in 1872 and asked Frederick Douglass to be her running mate. I'm like, ooh. She was called Mrs. Satan. Like, it was so like, wow. So I just started thinking Hillary, Barack, Victoria, and I just went down a rabbit hole. And that kind of really, I wrote my first essay about the women who have run for president. Mm-hmm. And that was really what started. And I couldn't get a job and I was pissed off. And so I wrote a play. That's kind of how it happened.
And the rest, as they say, is women's history. Her story. Her story.
I like your t-shirt.
Let me see the t-shirt.
Back up.
What does it say? The Supremes. Oh, the Supremes. I love it. So it's Sandra Day O'Connor, the traitor. Sorry. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sonia Sotomayor. And who's that on the right? Oh,
Elena.
Is that
Elena Kagan.
Well, pretty soon you're going to have to add Ketanji Brown Jackson to that shirt.
That I'll wear. I'll wear her anywhere. You know, yeah.
You're going to have to increase your bus line.
Well, we must.
It's going down, darling, not out.
I just wrap mine around my waist now.
Do your boobs hang low? Do they wobble to and fro?
Can you tie them in a knot?
Can you tie them in a bow? Can you throw them
over your shoulder?
Right. We changed the ear song to boobs because, you know, women. Yay, us. Yay. Yeah. So, okay, so we got all that. And now, hey, to celebrate here in Florida, they've just outlawed abortion at 15 weeks.
It's just...
And that's one of the better ones. Texas isn't so hot either.
It's all insane. It's just all insane.
Really bad.
You want me to read you my two women's...
Yes, oh, please, yes. So Laffy saved two tweets for when Amy got here. So tell us.
They're just little tweets. Actually, one of them is a big tweet. This is the little tweet. And I've got to make you small so I can actually see it. There we are. Biden to request $2.6 billion to promote gender equity worldwide.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my little tweet. Here's the big tweet.
I want to know what you got in mind. That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it sounded pretty good. Okay. But it's my short tweet. So here's the longer one. This is
a minute. Karina in the chat room asks Amy, so Amy Coney Barrett doesn't count as a woman? For the purposes of Amy's t-shirt? No, she does not. Just saying.
Not for women's rights, that's for sure.
Hell no. She's illegitimate. Okay. She's in a stolen seat.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Tim Mak of NPR.
Yes, is in Ukraine.
He reports, from Ukraine every day, and he starts out with a good morning tweet, and he does a long thread of what's going on. His first four tweets were about this. Let's start with a different track today. It's International Women's Day in Ukraine and everywhere else. Long lines of civilians and soldiers alike at the florist. And he does a shot of a beautiful florist. Yes. And then he says, near the florist, the air is thick with the saccharine smell of flowers. Across the street, down the road, throughout the oblast and all of Ukraine, I said that, I don't know how to pronounce that word, women are serving during a time of war. Women make up 20.1% of the total armed forces of Ukraine, including military and civilian staff. That's some 50,000 women involved in military defense for the Ukrainian Women's Congress. They continue to fight for respect. Last year, the Ukrainian military sparked controversy when they planned to have women march in high heels rather than army boots. All across the country, in a time of war, women are prepping Molotov cocktails, volunteering to support the army, or serving them in the military. Many have experienced severe loss. The number of refugees leaving Ukraine has now reached 2 million.
It's so sad. So, you know, before you came on, I shared the beginnings of my friendship with Tatiana. So every day, you know, they're something like 7 or 8 hours ahead of us. So it's nighttime there. And she sent me a nighttime story today. So I thought I would share it with you. It says stories about dull bobobs. Okay. In the Sumy region, and we've heard about the Sumy region because that was the first place that the Ukrainians allowed the people to go on the negotiated route, the humanitarian way out.
Oh, right, yeah.
So some people were able to get out of the corridor, the green corridor. That's the first of all, three of them failed first. So this one, some people got out of there. That's the region she's talking about. She says, in the Sumy region, 4 Russian tanks drove into the village. Locals stay at home, watch with interest the life of mammals. The tanks stop. The crew gets out, fuel is drained from 2 tanks into the other 2, and everyone leaves. And 2 empty tanks stand in the middle of the village. The locals who ran out stuck Ukrainian flags in those 2 tanks and dashed around the houses waiting. The first 2 tanks are returning. The fuel is obviously dug up. I guess they had spare fuel left in certain places. So they see 2 tanks with Ukrainian flags and shoot them. They blew up the tanks, drove up, realized that they were their own, got upset. Local choke with laughter quietly, she writes. Then she continues, she says, 2 tanks that remained on the move drove around the village, apparently lost, and there is a 5-ton bridge for cars. 1 tank drives in and the bridge collapses. The tank nods into the river, she says. I guess the tank rolled over into the river, drowning all with the crew. The locals are already laughing out loud. Only 1 tank left. Traveled, found a ravine and rolled over there. The crew that got out pushed and pushed, so they left that tank lying there and went twice. I'm missing something in her English, but getting the gist of it. She said, this is how the village, without a single shot, with 2 flags of Ukraine, was defeated by 4 tanks of Russian invaders. She's saying, this is how that town with 2 Ukrainian flags and no guns defeated these 4 Russian tanks. And then she said, good night story.
Wow.
I think that's awesome. She said, and one other thing I asked her, I said, is there anything you need? Do you need money? Do you have money to do whatever you're doing? They are staying in a place out in some remote village away from any city. And I told her that a lot of people here, I have many listeners who are concerned about you. And she said, I'm not, I asked her if she was on Twitter because somebody tweeted something about her. She said, I'm not on Twitter, but I'm very pleased to hear that there are many people who with a big and pure heart and with a great sense of empathy, our world is a huge house. I believe that only time zones can separate us, nothing more.
Oh, I love this person.
Right? She's amazing. And then I said, you know, and I agree too. My listeners keep asking how you're doing, so I share some of my exchanges. We want to know how we can help you. Do you have access to money? She said, to be honest, apart from the car and the money that we collected over the last week of the hostel, we have nothing else. We did not work for 1 year and 5 months because the pandemic did not allow. Since June, we began to work actively and repay the debts for renting the premises. We would have to work for 10 months to repay the debt, so we did not have a lot of money. Managed to grab what was in everything. We were lucky that we were given housing for free where they're staying now, but you saw in what condition that was. Therefore, the situation is such that for the next month, we have enough money to live, pay for electricity, water, and heating for food, and then everything is in the hands of God. And I said, well, can you receive money? Can we send you through PayPal or Zelle or any of those things? And I said, if there's a way to get money directly to you, I'm sure many of my listeners would try to help. She said, it's very embarrassing for me. I'm an orphan and always wanted to earn money myself. Aww. You should know, she has not asked for a single thing, and we have been communicating a lot for over the last week. And then I said, well, many Americans are booking rooms through Airbnb, not intending to stay, but as a way to get money over there. Do you take bookings for your hostel through Airbnb? That might work. And here's her response. She said, you're doing a great job. Honest information and its dissemination is the best thing to do now. We thank you on behalf of the whole country. And then, you know, I had asked her a question about, she used the word Cossacks yesterday, and Cossacks don't have a very good, you know, correlation over here, right? So I explained to her that it, you know, people over here hear that and it's not a good thing. And all is good. She wrote back a story about how her sister, the week the war broke out, read up everything on Ukraine history. And these were just people who protected, they were honest people and they protected their neighbors. And then she said, also, I forgot to write in the morning that my husband's grandmother is Jewish and my grandfather was a military man in a concentration camp and he saved her and married her. Such a love story. Right? I mean, And so she said about Airbnb, she said, my account was hacked once and I lost my page. And since booking worked 10 times better, we didn't restore it. I'll try to restore it if necessary. And I said, yeah, do, because that's a way that people can send you money. And then she gave me the praying hands. And then she said the stories about Dalababs. That's her goodnight story. And yeah. And so this is the kind of exchange we have every day. I woke up this morning to a message from her about the history from her sister. You know, they are just in this tiny apartment that was an old factory in this tiny village that thankfully is closer to Poland and Hungary than she was, so that if, God forbid, things get worse, she can head to the border. But she won't go now because she's married and her husband can't leave. So we have a friend in Ukraine now, and her name is Tatiana.
Tatiana. Well, give her our love.
I do. I've been. And she feels it. And I mean, look, as I explained to her, it's just an enormous burden to think of all these millions of people who are being bombed, who are displaced from their homes, who are under attack by this madman. So now we have one person we can concentrate on, and we know we can keep tabs on Tatiana and know she's okay and at least feel like we have a connection there. So,
right.
So we do, and, you know, and we keep saying we're going to meet one of these days. We are going to meet in person one of these days.
Zelensky said the same thing, by the way, about just get the word out. Just tweet, talk, whatever you can do. That's how you can support Ukraine. That's what he said.
Yeah.
By being the resistance, by speaking out. So at least we can do that much.
We can do that. And we can get her story out there.
Yeah.
You know, They were like 3 days on the road from Kyiv when they finally decided to leave. And they were underground at the hostel for days, not knowing what was going on. And then they finally realized they had to get out of there. Amy, a lot of us, our families are from that area. Now, I don't know what part of Russia my Russian heritage is. I just know that there was someone on my mother's side and someone on my father's side that came from Russia. And then there was Romania and Austria as well. But for instance, Fiddler on the Roof, that was Ukraine. That was Kyiv, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you know where your people are from, Amy?
Romania. I always thought the family story was that my mom's family came from a town in Austria called Chanowitz or Chana something. But then my daughter Rose did an ancestry and learned that they left for America from Austria, but they were from Romania. And I only learned that a few years ago.
Yeah.
My father's family, I'm not sure where in Russia they were from.
And Laffy, do you know?
All I know is all of them are from Russia. Yeah. I don't know where.
I don't know where either. And again, my mother's father was from Austria. My mother's mother was from Russia. On my father's side, one of them was Romania and one was Russia, but I don't know what territory. And back then, Russia was all of this area. A lot of it was, David's family, turns out it was Belarus, which is now, with Putin. So a lot of us have heritage there. Then we know people who've come over more recently. There's a woman named Larissa Alexandrovna
who, Larissa.
Well, she's from Odessa, Ukraine, and she's been posting pictures. This is what Odessa looks like now. It may not still be there, but this is the Odessa I know and love. You know, it is a very small world. And with the internet, it makes it even smaller. The fact that I can reach out and call somebody over there and now have this, pen pal for the 21st century is really special. I mean, I at least feel like I'm communicating with somebody there. There's nothing I can do but lend moral support. I mean, I was able to message her today after Joe Biden spoke. And I said, Biden just announced the U.S. will no longer import any energy, oil, liquid, natural gas, etc. from Russia. He said, we will not fund his war on the people of Ukraine. And her response was, oh my God, what good news, followed by like 10 exclamation points.
Oh, that's great. So see, you gave her a shot in the arm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's huge.
So,
I think I just read also that I think McDonald's stopped.
Said they're closing, and Starbucks too, because Coke as well. Because this morning when I did what's news, it was Coke, Pepsi, Starbucks, McDonald's, all still KFC, all still operating over there. And it sounds like more than half of them have since this morning said, nope, we're shutting down there too.
And I have to say, I heard a story. I mean, the credit cards now are also stopping processing, but I saw a story on the news really upsetting. A woman in Ukraine, her brother was in Russia. She was showing him on her phone the pictures of what was happening to her in Ukraine, and he didn't believe her.
I've heard that a lot.
Her father, who left them when she was young, who lives with a new family in Russia, does not believe her. This is what's happening over and over and over again. They do not believe them.
So what do you think? I mean, once the people of Russia start to feel these impacts of not having of all this stopping of credit cards and businesses, like maybe they'll wake up, or
They're going to have to. I'm going to play you one more video. I'm going to play this video. This is from, there's a YouTube channel, and it's Ukrainian television. It's UATV. It's Ukrainian television in English. This is a former Russian police captain who now. This will blow your mind. Watch this.
Yeah, Polishuk Dmitry Petrovich.
My name is Dmitry Polishuk. I am a retired police captain of the Ministry of Internal Affairs of Russia. I have faithfully served the citizens of the Russian Federation for 15 years, but at the moment I am in Ukraine, and I cannot calmly look at the atrocities that are happening because of the military servicemen of the Russian army. How they use heavy weapons to shoot at residential areas, hospitals, and kindergartens. I am ashamed to have something in common with the Russian military.
Putin, отдающий такие приказы.
Putin, who gives such orders, is a terrorist, and he must be brought to the International Military Tribunal. I do not want to have anything in common with the police of the Russian Federation. This is my pension certificate for an internal affairs officer.
And he tears it up.
Whoa. Wow.
Tore it up.
Wow.
This is a passport of a citizen of the Russian Federation. It belongs to me.
And he's showing it to the camera, showing the picture.
Oh, no.
And he tears it up.
Wow.
Holy shit.
That's
wow.
And also here is a military ID, which as well belongs to me.
Oh, military ID. Looks like a passport. It's a booklet. And again, tears it up.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Now I stand up to protect the Ukrainian people as a member of the territorial defense.
How amazing, right? Did I tell you?
That's breathtaking. Yeah.
And so they're hoping that these videos, and there's tons of them, they have captured soldiers. They give them a phone to call home to their mother to tell their mothers what's going on. And the soldiers are saying, Mom, we were lied to. We were told we're going to be the liberators. We're the peacekeepers. We're the aggressors. We're shooting them. We're bombing innocent people. You see these soldiers crying, talking to their mothers in Russia, telling them what's going on, saying, I'm safe here. I'm here. They're taking better care of me here than my Russian commanders did. You need to let everybody know what's really happening. And that's what it's going to take, because the people in Russia are, you know, all the communications cut off. They have no, the internet's cut off. Facebook is down. They're not hearing the truth. They're just hearing the propaganda. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. If the former guy was still in office, that's exactly what we'd be getting to, because he'd be lying his ass off as he did every,
He'd be giving him money.
He'd be giving him money. He'd be backing up the Russians and saying the Ukrainians, there's Nazis there, which is the bullshit line that Putin's got. So
this just came over. Yeah. Leaders of Saudi, leaders of Saudi Arabia and the UAE declined, requests to speak to Biden during the Ukraine crisis. They both took calls from Putin. That just came through the Wall Street Journal.
Oh my God. Oh, my God. We need to cut off Saudi Arabia immediately. See, that's Trump's, that's his cabal. That's his, posse. He'd be hanging with MBS and Vladimir Putin. We need to go the other way. We need to just get away from those people and make our own way in the world. This is insane. I feel like we're going backwards. I mean, here we are. It's the 21st century, and we're taking these giant steps backwards.
I mean, banning books and what happened today in Florida. Come on. I mean, we are in so much trouble.
And the Supreme Court, 6-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say it's good. It's not good news. But we have people like Elie Mystal standing up against that. I mean, he was on the show yesterday. If you didn't hear that interview, go back and listen to it, because what he's talking about is expanding the Supreme Court to more than 20 justices so that we can never get in this situation again, so that there will always be enough people, and then put in term limits as well.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Yeah.
But so that it can't be so lopsided.
Oh. Yeah, but in order to get there, we have to have enough votes.
Okay, ladies, David is here to chime in.
Hey, David.
Hi. Hey. I hate to inject some testosterone on Women's Day.
It is,
but
yeah.
I just had to say, you mentioned Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Shame on the U.S. media for not mentioning the degree to which Saudi Arabia has been bombing the living fuck out of Yemen.
Yep.
And it's been as bad or worse than anything that's happening in Ukraine. And the U.S. media hasn't said shit.
Not a word.
Right.
We just,
the Muslims in China, the re-education.
The Uyghurs, right, are being massacred. And we don't talk about that either. And, you know, furthermore, we're hearing from a lot of, you know, Africans who live in in Ukraine that they are having trouble getting out, that when they get on the trains, they are being pushed to the back saying, oh, no, you can't come in, but all the white people are being let through. That's fucked up. That's fucked up. It's all fucked up, but that's really fucked up.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah.
Something good to say.
I know. I'm looking for something good to say too. There was good news today. There were a couple of things of good news. Let me see if I could find. Congress passed legislation after 200 failed attempts. After 200 failed attempts, lynching is now a federal hate crime. It finally passed. The Senate voted unanimously. Following the House vote last week, 422-3, I think we need to make an example of the three white men who voted against the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act. That would be Andrew Clyde of Georgia, Thomas Massey of Kentucky, and Chip Roy of Texas.
Chip Roy.
Everyone who can vote in any of those three states, you know what to do. Oh my God. That should be an immediate, you're out of here. How do you vote against anti-lynching legislation?
Yeah. How do you vote for Trump?
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, we've reached the end of the hour. I didn't even get our music bed to play. So that's okay. We can go into a little bit of overtime. I just don't know. Somebody, Casey in the chat room said, it's also murder, so it's been illegal. But this makes it a hate crime.
Yeah.
Still, I would love to be able to ask one of these cretins, why would you vote against such a thing? What is it inside of you that makes you say, no, I'm against the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act?
I'm for lynching.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. That's opposite world, to coin a phrase. Hi. So, Amy and Laffy, how are things in LA right now? Are you noticing any difference now that some of the restrictions are lifted? I went into a place today to pick up my tomato plants and I wore my mask. And a couple of people were wearing masks, but not everybody.
That's about how it is here.
Yeah, there's still some people don't. I just saw Hamilton for the first
you
time.
You did?
On Saturday.
Yeah.
I can't even talk about it. It was so amazing. But it was at the Pantages Theater, and I thought, I didn't know, but yes, everybody, they checked their vax cards, and we wore masks. And, you know, some people are, I believe it's up to each individual business at this point. I don't believe it's actually mandated, Laffy, am I right?
Not anymore.
Not
anymore.
It's not mandated anymore. LA just took it out. Where I live in Ventura County, it's been the mask they ended on, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? I don't remember.
Yeah.
We have a pretty high vaccination rate here. About 70 something, and then 80% or 82% over 12. So, you know, we're okay, but it didn't matter. Even when there was mandates, when I'd walk into, you know, I wrote letters. I wrote letters to CEOs because
there's sanity there. Did you hear what happened here in Florida today?
Oh God.
Our new Surgeon General.
Yes,
oh,
that guy,
yes. Latipo. He basically made an announcement and said, "We don't believe in the vaccines. So, you know what? If kids between the ages of 5 and 11, if you're healthy, you don't have to get vaccinated. In fact, we're telling you not to get vaccinated. They are actively going against the CDC recommendations.
Yep. Well."
Making Florida the first state to break from CDC guidance on COVID-19.
And don't forget this guy's background.
Oh, yeah. The woman who did the witch doctor thing, that press conference with, you know, the demon sex, whatever. he was behind her at that press conference. He's one of them.
Right.
He's one of them.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, you didn't hear this. I gotta play this for you. Shoot. It's not audio. It was a tweet. DeSantis' spokesperson, you'll love this one, about the Don't Say Gay bill.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to read it to you. His chief spokesperson has also horrifically claimed that anyone who opposes the bill is, quote, probably a groomer of children. Mm-hmm. What? She said, now I can't find it. Oh, man. The verbiage was like they're groomers or they're working with the groomers. What, to indoctrinate, to try to turn your kid gay? This is what they're saying. Oh, my God. Oh, I need to play for you this video. We're in overtime now, so I can share this with you. This was a woman who is in the Florida State Senate as they're debating this bill. I don't know this woman's name, and I think that's probably a good thing because it is just unbelievable. Now, if I can find, there it is, Florida Senate. Okay.
And I want to start off by delineating
and bring her up
exactly what LGBT is. And by the way, gay is not a permanent thing.
What?
LGBT is not a permanent thing.
Excuse
and it's
me?
Not a
what?
Bad thing.
What? It's not
I
a permanent thing?
I say with all due
thing?
Respect when they say targeting, this isn't at all about targeting. I think this is about perhaps rerouting the responsibilities back to the parents, which is what I think that this bill wants to once again delineate.
Oh, God.
I think that maybe it's a great way to have a conversation. There's something that I learned from Senator Baxley is these bills are great topics for happy hour.
They're great topics for
conversation. That's what we are as a republic, a practicing democracy. That's what we do.
Oh, shit.
And I wanted to take a good look at everyone, and I wanted everyone to look at me because Senator Garcia will support this bill today.
I
want to make sure that she heard this as well.
Oh, my God.
You know, I don't like to use this tag. When I introduce my friends, I don't say, this is my best gay friend. No, this is my best friend. Or this is my lesbian aunt. No, this is my aunt.
I'm seething right now.
People are people because of their qualities, not because of their identity and their sexuality. And I think a lot of the people here on the floor, including Senator Jones, knows that I am very inclusive and I'm very open with regards to that, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
My circle of friends.
Here we go.
All LGBT.
Oh, sure
they
are.
I don't pander on that. I will never, you will never, ever find Senator Garcia pandering the LGBT community for a vote, ever. Because I have a son and I have relatives.
Oh, my God.
And so, I have people that I love.
What?
So first and foremost, I think that what I haven't heard on this floor, and seldom do I talk, is exactly what LGBT is.
Yeah, you tell us.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans.
Transgender.
One thing is sexuality, and another thing is identity.
What?
You can identify as the opposite, but not necessarily like the opposite sex. I'll give you an example. A very good friend of mine, transition as an older man, 58 years old, became a woman, and guess what? He still likes women.
She. If she can't become a woman, she's
the
a
whole
she.
Process.
And
I, we'd laugh together, and I'd say, why do you want to deal with the hormones? Why do you want to have to worry about the extensions and the hair and the boobs and the nails? And he loved it.
When he
went through the transition and had an experience, a sexual experience, with all due respect, there were children, and I say this
with
respect.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He realized that he continued to like women.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
I want to sing this to her face. Oh, my God. Can anybody be more
ignorant?
Ignorant. Oh, my God. And she's
or odious.
Horror, just obtuse, just sickening, just wrong on every front. This woman is a mistake. She's an error.
Yeah.
God. Oh, my God. That's Ileana Garcia, in case anyone is wondering. She referred to herself in the third person twice.
Yeah.
In there.
So I prefer to forget, frankly.
Oh, my God. Everything about this woman is offensive. And she stood up there on the floor of the Florida Senate And that was her defense of this piece of shit bill?
Well, you know, let's go have a happy hour and, you know, figure it out.
I just need her to shut the fuck up. And Florida, I need to get the fuck out of here because that is where I'm living.
I'm so sorry.
I know. And I'm sorry that I'm leaving you with this, but I had to play that today because that bill passed today and the idiot governor is going to sign it into law.
All right. Well, I actually will leave you with something that's good that I remembered.
Please.
Oh, yay. Oh, good.
Malala Yousafzai. Yeah.
Yes.
For listeners who don't recall, when she was 11 years old, she was shot in the head in Pakistan on her school bus.
Oh, good news. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
By the Taliban. Now I'm getting there. By the Taliban. She ended up recovering. She was blogging for the BBC at the age of 11 about life under the Taliban. She ended up back in England, went to school, recovered. I mean, she ended up addressing the United Nations. She sat with John Stewart. She sat with Obama. She just graduated from Oxford a few years ago, and she just got married.
I know. I saw she got married. That is.
She said she was against marriage. Of course, you could understand why. But she said that this is her best friend, and he sort of turned her on to the benefits of marriage. And anyway, I'm just so happy for her that she's found love. I mean, 11 years old, shot in the head. I mean, so there's hope for us all.
There is hope for us all.
She's really wonderful.
Good.
And that's a good note to end on. Absolutely. Yeah. There is hope. I'll quote Bruce Springsteen, man, the dope set, there's still hope. And with that, we're done, I guess. Amy Simon, find her. sheshistory.com. Go check out the website. If you're in Los Angeles, go see the show. March 20th.
Sunday, March 20th, 2 p.m.
That's David's birthday. I can remember that. Oh, no, his birthday is May 20th. Never mind. March 20th.
March 20th.
Gotta laugh.
You're not even drinking.
I know. I guess I need to be.
Three of us.
I know. We need another drunk show. One of these years. I'll get back out there one of these years.
You know what? We actually could do it because we don't have to drive.
That's
true.
So we
can actually do it.
But I don't want to do it on Zoom. We want to do it in person.
You're right. Of course you're right. Sorry.
And I need to get back out there. This place is.
And Gotta Laugh, you'll find her at laffysplace.com.
And Gotta Laugh, you'll find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at laffysplace.com. And me, you know, I'll be here tomorrow as usual. I don't know what we're doing tomorrow.
But thank God for you, Nicole. Thank God for you. And I mean, thank Goddess, as Bella Abzug would say. Thank Goddess.
Wait, let me show you my latest artwork since we're in overtime. Hold on. Check this out.
Check this out. Oh, this is the one I love.
Yeah, it's so I put the lights behind it on the wall to make it, because this really needs to be sitting in a window. But this one is actually already sold. And the one behind me, the first lighted one that I did like this, is still available. And by the way, I've been collecting frames like that. I now have a bunch of them. So I'm going to be playing and creating. I think I need to do one of these windows with like a hummingbird in the window.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to be, you know, knocking them out over the coming months. So we got that to look forward to. All right. With that. And I've done paintings for both of you. I did your kitties, Amy, and I did Hammy, and I'm in the middle of a new one of Jackson, because Jackson's all, you know, graying. He's got this gray goatee now. Aww. So I needed an updated one, and I had him. The eyes were a little off, and I just totally fucked them up. So now I'm back at square one on the eyes. But anyway, progress. It's what I do when I'm not on the air. So, all right, I'm stalling. I will let you guys go. I know, Amy, you got to get back to work. Laffy, you got to deal with your kitchen remodel, and packing to go to Canada. And
not till June.
I know. Yeah, let me.
I'll start now. It's okay.
That's good. All right. Well, until next time. Thank you, guys.
Wonderful.
Thank
to
you.
See you both.
Oh,
great to see you. All right. Yeah. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye. And with that, I'm gonna put this picture back up so I can close this window out, and I'll leave everybody with the news because I can. So I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Life is a roller coaster. It is. And so it goes.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Russian dictator Vladimir Putin's war against Ukraine rages on. A Russian airstrike Sunday night hit an apartment building in the northeastern Ukrainian city of Sumy, killing at least 21 people, including two young children. After Sumy has been under sustained attacks in recent days, Ukraine and Russia reportedly agreed on another evacuation route so Ukrainians could safely leave the region. But several previous attempts to evacuate civilians failed earlier this week, with Western leaders accusing Russian forces of continuing to target pre-approved safe routes. The Biden administration is emphasizing that American troops will not engage directly with Russian forces. And NATO members have also pushed back on calls for a no-fly zone in Ukraine, warning that it could lead to a, quote, full-fledged war in Europe. As opposed to what's happening now? But things could swiftly change if Moscow's attack spills into a NATO member nation, a move that would trigger Article 5. That's the principle that an attack on one NATO member is an attack on all its members. And why isn't Ukraine in NATO? Just asking. So, Russia and Ukraine on Monday ended a third round of talks with no breakthrough. Russia is demanding that Ukraine accept neutrality, demilitarize, drop its effort to join NATO, and give up parts of eastern Ukraine. An advisor to President Zelensky said some progress had been made on improving the, quote, logistics of humanitarian corridors. That would be the way for civilians to leave the cities that are being hardest hit. Ukrainians got on buses to leave Sumy on Tuesday, the first evacuation from a Ukrainian city through an agreed humanitarian corridor after a few failed attempts. But at the same time, Russia is also recruiting Syrians to fight on its behalf in their invasion of Ukraine. The Pentagon found it noteworthy that the Russian leader, Putin, quote, believes he needs to rely on foreign fighters to supplement what is a very significant commitment of combat power inside Ukraine as it is. Okay. Well, the effects of the war are being felt globally. Gas prices continue to rise here as bipartisan support for a ban on Russian oil imports grows in Congress. The national average price for a gallon of gas reached $4.17 on Monday, passing the previous record of $4.11 reached in July of 2008. The price of oil jumped by about 14% on Monday, with the international benchmark Brent crude reaching about $129 a barrel. That's up from $65 a barrel in early December. Members on both sides of the aisle in Congress have been urging President Biden to ban Russian oil imports as part of the effort to impose harsher sanctions against the Russian guy for invading Ukraine. And just like that, breaking news at press time, President Biden is expected to announce sometime Tuesday that the U.S. will ban Russian oil, natural gas, and coal imports as part of his administration's response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Good. It's about time. But watch out. Gas prices are going to go even higher. I don't know about you, but I could use some encouraging news right about now. So an interlude. According to CNN, Benny Thompson, the chair of the House Select Committee investigating the Capitol riot, is already finding newly released visitor logs from Trump's White House, quote, very fruitful. The committee had fought to obtain these logs in an effort to track people who may have discussed the attack with the former guy in the Oval Office. And finally, after more than 200 failed attempts, Congress on Monday passed legislation that for the first time would make lynching a federal hate crime. The Senate voting unanimously. That followed a House vote of 422-3 last week, sending the bill to President Biden to sign into law. The Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, named for the black teenager whose brutal killing in Mississippi in 1955, became a pivotal moment in the civil rights era. And okay, you want the names of the three members of Congress who voted against the legislation? You got it. Andrew Clyde of Georgia, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, and Chip Roy of Texas. Voters, You know what to do.
Come on, man.
Surprisingly, the Supreme Court even gave us something to be grateful for this week. The High Court rejected emergency applications filed by Republicans in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, asking the court to strike down congressional district maps approved by the courts in both states. By doing so, the Supreme Court refused to accept a radical legal theory known as independent state legislature doctrine that could have upended redistricting and voting rights across the country. So we're safe for a moment anyway. But then there's this. In another order, the Supremes ruled that maps selected by the North Carolina and Pennsylvania state Supreme Courts were to be used for the 2022 midterm elections. Yeah, both maps are more favorable to Democrats than the ones drawn by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The North Carolina map is expected to give Democrats an additional House seat. The Pennsylvania map is expected to result in more Democratic wins as well. The Republicans argued that the Constitution gives state lawmakers sole authority in decisions on conducting elections. According to who? So remember Mark Meadows? You know, he quit his North Carolina congressional seat to become the former guy's White House chief of staff back in March of 2020. Well, WRAL in North Carolina reporting Monday night that Meadows had registered to vote for the 2020 election using the address of a rural North Carolina mobile home where he never lived and, according to its former owner, never slept at. Meadows voted by mail from Alexandria, Virginia in 2020. But he's still registered at that North Carolina rental home. Registering using a residence you've never stayed at constitutes voter fraud in North Carolina. And providing false information on your voter registration form is a federal crime. Meadows, of course, was a prominent critic of mail-in voting in 2020 and a vocal supporter of Trump's fake news post-election voter fraud claims. Merrick Garland, paging Merrick Garland. And finally, here in Florida, the state legislature this week are set to pass the Don't Say Gay bill. This bill would effectively ban teachers from even discussing sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms for young students, though critics say this will affect older kids as well. LGBTQ advocates say the measure would lead to further stigmatization of gay, lesbian, and transgender children. Parents would also have greater authority to take legal action if they're not privy to situations related to their children or if their children are encouraged to have discussions about sexual orientation and gender identity in school. Wow. As high school students participated in walkouts around the state, Disney's CEO said the company, which employs over 75,000 Floridians, is committed to inclusivity, but he wouldn't publicly condemn this controversial bill and is subsequently being throttled on social media. The Don't Say Gay bill passed Florida's House of Representatives in February and now heads to the Republican-controlled Senate, which could take a final vote as soon as today. And then the governor, Ron DeSantis, who likes to call Florida the freest state in America, has enthusiastically supported this legislation and berated the press for the way the bill has been portrayed in the media. You might want to listen to his chief spokesman, who actually tweeted out a heinous message concerning it. She wrote, "The bill that liberals inaccurately call Don't Say Gay would be more accurately described as anti-grooming bill." Following that up with, quote, "If you're against the anti-grooming bill, you're probably a groomer, or at least you don't denounce the grooming of 4 to 8 year old children. Silence is complicity. This is how it works, Democrats, and I don't make the rules." Groomer of children? What? The biggest concern, though, is what message this would send to gay, lesbian, and transgender children, and what kind of immediate impact such a law could have on their mental health. A national survey by the Trevor Project found that 42% of LGBTQ youth seriously considered suicide in the last year, including more than half of transgender and non-binary youth. And one last story for you. Over 200 of the world's biggest and best-known companies have cut ties with Russia, but not all of them. The holdouts include Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Burger King, McDonald's, and KFC, which have over 1,000 locations in the country. In response, some are calling for a boycott of those brands. The more you know. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on one of those donate buttons.